Hi, you're listening to Rav Danny Eisenberg here. Welcome to the podcast. Today, Monday, the 15th of August, 2011, is Tu B'Av, the 15th day of Av. And if we try and understand the significance of this day, we will learn some very profound lessons about what period of time in the year we are in and what's expected of us at this time. Now, the Mishnah at the end of Masechet Ta'anit tells us the following statement. Amar Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, who was the head of the Sanhedrin, made the following comment. There were no greater days for Israel than the 15th of Av and like Yom Kippur. For on those days the daughters of Jerusalem would go out in white clothes. The Mishnah then proceeds to tell us that they used to dance in the vineyards, and it was an opportunity to create matchmaking situations so that men could seek out the kind of women they wanted to marry. Now, this is very striking for us because, after all, this is not the way we spend Yom Kippur in our times. You don't have people frolicking in the fields, as it were, and you don't have matchmaking going on. We sit in shul all day. But aside from that, the natural question arises, what is significant about this 15th day of Av? Yom Kippur, we understand, is a very significant day. And in fact, the Gemara itself has this very question. They say Yom Kippur, as we know, is a happy day because it's a time of forgiveness. We receive forgiveness from God. It's also the day that the Jewish people received the second tablets of stone from God, after they've been forgiven for the sin of the golden calf. However, the 15th day of Av is somewhat mysterious, somewhat enigmatic, and the Gemara tries to articulate what is so special about this day, that they chose to make this the day for matchmaking. Now, in the Gemara, there are actually six different explanations of events, or descriptions of events that took place on this day that made this such a special day, such a happy day for the Jewish people, and a day on which matches should be made. So, what are these events? So, the first one mentioned is quoted in the name of the Amora Shmuel. He says, this was the day when the tribes were allowed to marry amongst each other after not having previously been allowed to. What's this about? So, during the time of the sojourn of the Jewish people in the desert, there was a man called Zelofehad, and he was sentenced to death for a various sin that he committed, and he had five daughters, and his five daughters were getting ready to enter the land of Israel together with the rest of the Jewish people. However, they had a complaint. Their complaint was that they did not get a portion in the land because the portions were divided according to men, according to the male members of the family, and their father had no sons. Therefore, they appealed to Moshe that they should be allowed to get their own portion as the only daughters of Zelofehad, that he shouldn't lose out on his descendants receiving a portion of the land. At any rate, God agrees to this request, and he decides that they should receive a portion. However, in subsequent discussions, it turns out that there's a concern that these daughters of Zelofehad will end up marrying somebody from another tribe, and then when that happens, well, their inheritance, the portion of their family, will end up going over to the children from this other tribe, which will mean that the tribe of Manasseh, from which they came, would lose part of its inheritance. And this, as a result of these discussions, it was decided that God actually decided that the daughters of Zelofehad should marry only people from their own tribe. They can choose whoever they want, but they had to be from the same tribe. And in fact, in any similar situation, it was determined that while the daughters would inherit if there were no sons, but they had to marry into the same tribe. However, this only applied in the generation of the desert. The following generation of the Jewish people, this law no longer applied. They were now allowed to marry into whatever tribe they wanted. So therefore, according to Shmuel, the greatness of the 15th of Av was this fact that now anybody could marry anybody from whatever tribe they wanted without any limitation. Now, we're going to look at this explanation along with the other five explanations, and we're going to try and understand what's so significant about that. Why does that make this day such a special day? And what is the common denominator between the different explanations? The second explanation that's given is that by Rav Nachman, who says that on this day, the 15th of Av, the men of the tribe of Binyamin were allowed to marry from the other back into the other tribes. And the background to this is as follows. In the end of Sefer Shoftim, there was, and very sad to read, but there was a horrific civil war that took place between the tribe of Benjamin and the other tribes, and someone had committed a horrific crime from the tribe of Benjamin, and the members of that tribe tried to protect them. As a result, this led to a civil war, and in the aftermath of this civil war, the Jewish people decided, the rest of the tribes decided, that they didn't want to allow any of the men of the tribe of Benjamin to marry their daughters, and they made this they created this ban. And so what ended up happening, they suddenly realized, one second now, we're going to end up eliminating one of the tribes of Israel, because there weren't many people from the tribe of Benjamin left after this bloodbath, and it was quite tragic. And what's going to happen? We're going to lose a tribe of Israel. Now, as the Talmud explains, that this ban was made from the people of that particular generation, that no one would give their daughters to the children of Benjamin. However, the implication was that future generations would be allowed to give their daughters as wives to the tribe of Benjamin. So as soon as this generation passed on, then the next generation was enabled to do that. So this hell took place, this transition took place on the 15th of Av. Rabbi Yochanan, one of the other great Amoraim, gives an additional explanation, that it was on this day that the Jewish people, who were wandering in the desert for 40 years, they stopped dying in the desert. God had decreed after the sin of the spies that all of that generation, people from ages 20 and above, had to die in the desert, and it was this decree transpired over a period of 38 years, and by the end of the 38 years, when it was 40 years from the Exodus, then all of that generation had passed away. And not only that, but the Gemara highlights the fact that during those 38 years, God was not really on speaking terms with Moshe. He did speak to him in certain ways, but he did not use the particular expression known as, where it says Vayedaber, of Dibur, where God would speak in the most intimate fashion with Moshe Rabbeinu. He would speak to him perhaps in dreams, says Rashi, or in other ways, but he didn't speak to him in the most intimate fashion, because God was not on speaking terms with the Jewish people for that particular generation, and so until that generation passed on, God would not communicate with Moshe in that way. Once the new generation came along, those 40 years were up, so God once again would communicate in that intimate, close way with the Jewish people through Moshe Rabbeinu. So the last of the dead died on the 9th of Av. Well, different explanations exactly how that worked, but God once again began speaking to the Jewish people on the 15th of Av. The next explanation, the fourth explanation by the Amora Ula, he explains that in the time there had been a decree, in the time of Yerovam ben Nevat, the king of the northern kingdom, he had essentially, what he had done, he could see that there was a situation after the kingdoms split. God decreed that the Jewish people should split into two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of Yehuda and the kingdom of the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel. And the king Yerovam ben Nevat, the kingdom of Israel, realized that if his people continue to go to the temple every year into the kingdom of Yehuda, so that for Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, if they're going to go every year, so in the end, he's going to be constantly dependent on the kingdom of Yehuda to let people go. And in the end, it's going to undermine his sovereignty. And therefore, he set up guards that would not allow any of the Jews to go to the temple in the kingdom of Yehuda. And he also set up an alternative form of worship, which in the end was essentially Avodah Zarah of some kind, whereby people had to worship Hashem in the northern kingdom. So it was that was the infamous decree of Yerovam ben Nevat. And in later generation, the king of Israel, Hoshea ben Elah, he changed the system, and essentially he got rid of these guards, and he allowed people from the northern kingdom to go through to the kingdom of Yehuda once again to worship in the Beit HaMikdash. So this took place apparently on the 15th of Av, according to Ula, and therefore this is made this the happiest day in the calendar. Rav Matana gives a fifth explanation, a different explanation, and he says that the Tu B'Av was the day on which the people of the city of Beitar were allowed to be buried. Now, what happened was Beitar was a major metropolis in the time after of after the destruction of the Second Temple, when the Jewish people were fighting to establish some sovereignty, to try and push off the sovereignty of the Roman Empire, and the Bar Kokhba revolt was the means by which they tried to do that. Now, what happened was that eventually the Bar Kokhba revolt was crushed by the Romans, and they massacred thousands upon thousands of Jews. And the city of Beitar, the people were massacred, and they not only did they massacre them, but they did not allow anyone to bury the dead. So you had these dead bodies for years. These corpses were lying out. And it says that the Midrash tells us that Hashem caused a miracle to happen, that the bodies of the dead were never decomposed, and God brought it about, allowed it to happen, that the Romans would one day overturn that decree and allow them to bury the dead. And it was on that day, well, after that happened, that they were allowed to be buried. That happened on the 15th of Av, and subsequently the rabbis added an extra bracha to benching. We won't go into that right now, but they added the bracha of HaTov HaMetiv, the bracha HaKel Avinu Malkeinu Adreinu Boreinu. That bracha, that fourth bracha of benching, was added by the Chachamim in thanks to God for what happened with Harugei Beitar, the people who were killed, Beitar being allowed to be buried. So this is the fifth event that's been recorded as having happened on the 15th of Av. And the final explanation of Rabba and Rav Yosef is that the 15th of Av was the day that every year the Jews would stop cutting wood for the temple fireplace. Now, on the altar they used to burn wood to burn a fire to be used for burning the korbanot, and they used to chop wood for that regularly, but they didn't do it after the 15th of Av, because on the 15th of Av, you were talking about at the end of the summer, so it starts to become moist again, there starts to be rainfall, and now the wood would start to become moist, and therefore there was a concern that maybe there would be worms within the wood, and worms make the wood invalid for use on the Mizbeach. So as a result of that, from the 15th of Av onwards, you could not use they could not chop wood for the Mizbeach. The truth is, I don't think there was any rainfall at this point of the year, but nevertheless there was moisture in the air, and the sun was not as hot somehow, and therefore from that time they would not use that wood. So here you have a very long, varied list of events that took place on Tu B'Av, and it's going to be our mission at this point to try and discover what is the common theme behind all of them, what exactly is the significance of this day of Tu B'Av. So I'd like to introduce this concept by mentioning a principle that was articulated by the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, in his interpretation, his Perush for the Sefer Datzniuta, on a Sefer of Kabbalah, an ancient Sefer of Kabbalah, he says the following idea. He says that when the Jewish people are in the land of Israel, so they're not just individuals, but rather the entire nation has got a combined entity. It's as if the Jewish people is one unified body, and they operate and they live together as a unified entity. When they go into exile, when the Jewish people are exiled from the land, they are no longer considered a unified body, but rather it's as if the body dies. The body of Am Yisrael has died, and now as individuals, they continue to serve Hashem, keeping their mitzvot as individuals, but not as a collective whole. Therefore, the Vilna Gaon explains that the prophet Yechezkel, Ezekiel, has the vision of the Valley of Dry Bones, where you have the various bones of Israel are lying on the ground, and he has this vision whereby the bones come together and they start to develop flesh on the bones and skin, and God makes this declaration that he's going to bring the Jewish people back to the land of Israel. So the Vilna Gaon explains this is what it's talking about, because when they left the land of Israel, they became bones. The Jewish people died, as it were, and now that God is bringing them back to the land of Israel, he is resurrecting. It's Tchiyat HaMeitim. He's resurrecting the Jewish people in order to bring them back to the land. So, he continues to say that now, in speaking in his own time, we are now waiting for God to perform Tchiyat HaMeitim and to resurrect the people of Am Yisrael and bring them back to the land of Israel. So on the basis of this idea, we'd like to explain what Tisha B'Av and the 15th of Av are all about. The 9th of Av represents the death of the Jewish nation. It's the day of the destruction of the two temples. It's the day that the Jewish people went into exile twice. It's the time that the Jewish people die. Now the 15th of Av, if you count from the 9th of Av, you start sitting Shiva, and as we do in mourning, for 7 days, starting from the 9th of Av, the 7th day will be the 15th of Av. Now on the 7th day of mourning, we arise from our mourning. We get up and we return to normal life. We, after a time of hopelessness, of chaos and cataclysm, we are now returned back to the normality of life. The 15th of Av represents the day of hope, the day of resurrection, where the Jewish people can become unified and become alive again as a nation. So let's go through the explanations and we'll see how all the different events that happen on this day represent that notion. The first two explanations we saw were days, we're talking about periods of time when the Jewish people were not able to all marry each other as they should. There was in the time of the desert where various people were only allowed to marry into their own tribe, and therefore the integrity of the Jewish people was somewhat limited because you did not have anybody being able to marry somebody from any other tribe. And therefore the 15th of Av, when that generation passed on and a new generation was born where everyone could marry anybody and within that generation, that creates the integrity of the Jewish people. That creates the Jewish people that is unified and that is able to come to life in the most fullest sense. That is true for the daughters of Tzlofchad and their generation. It's true for the people of Binyamin. The tribe of Binyamin had been cut off from the rest of the Jewish people. Now they were allowed to rejoin in the new generation. We're allowed to rejoin the rest of the body of Am Yisrael, and that makes the body of the Jewish people complete and allows us to come to life once again. In fact, we could say that this is the secret of the survival of the Jewish people, that even when one generation of the Jewish people has been destroyed, as we've witnessed in our history so many times, that God allows the possibility for the next generation to rise again, to be born anew. After you have this period of sitting Shiva, the next generation comes along and establishes itself as a new, unified, integrated entity. Let's continue. The next explanation. It's the day that the generation of the desert all died after 40 years in the desert, and a new generation came along and God was willing to speak to them again. The previous generation were not worthy of God's communication, and it took until that generation died, until the final ninth of Av, when all of that generation was gone, and then you wait Shiva, and then the new generation comes along and God is willing to re-establish communication with the Jewish people. The explanation about the guards that were now no longer allowed to stop people from the northern kingdom going to the southern kingdom, going to the kingdom of Yehudah in order to go to the Beit HaMikdash. So here again, as long as there was a decree preventing Jews from worshipping in the Beit HaMikdash, here you had part of the Jewish people that was somewhat cut off. And this not only affected them, but it affected the integrity of the entire Jewish people. Without the unity of all the Jewish people coming together to the Beit HaMikdash, you do not have the entirely unified Am Yisrael. It was established as separated as two distinct kingdoms that do not interact and do not intermingle with each other. However, once the Hoshea ben Elah removed those guards, so now it was possible for the Jewish people, even though they belonged to two separate kingdoms, it was possible for them to interact in their service of Hashem together. And thereby this was the basis for the reintegration of the Jewish people and of the Jewish people coming back to life in a much fuller sense. The fifth explanation, where the people massacred in Beitar were allowed their bodies did not decompose and they were allowed to be buried in dignity. So this concept here, the destruction of Beitar, represented what seemed to be the nail in the coffin of the last hope for Jewish survival and Jewish sovereignty within the land of Israel. And once they were massacred and the rebellion was put down, so this indicated that hope was lost for the Jewish people. However, the fact that God did not allow their bodies to decompose indicates that even after the destruction, God is still with the Jewish people. He continues to maintain hope and to maintain some semblance of relationship with the Jewish people, something that can be built on. And the fact that they were allowed to be buried after not having been allowed to be for so many years indicated that human dignity was preserved. the Jewish, the individuals who were killed was were no longer just treated like dirt, that they were left, their bodies were left and as if they had no dignity whatsoever, but rather they were given a dignified burial, which shows that their humanity was remained intact, and the Jewish people was allowed to live on and rebuild and re-establish themselves. It was a sign that there was hope for the future of the Jewish people, and this is the concept of how the Jewish people lives on even in the most desperate situations. There is hope. Now the final one that seems to stand out from all of the rest, this is the day that they stopped cutting wood for the temple because of the fact that the moisture was in the wood and you were not able to prevent the worms. What's that got to do with the rest of the explanations? But it's like this. The 9th of Av represents the last point at the end of the hot summer. It's the time when Midat Hadin, when the divine attribute of justice is at its most strict. There is no sign, there is no trace of compassion from God at this point in time. The destruction that took place to the Jewish people in that period of time was monumental, was frightening, and it was without boundary. The Jewish people have suffered in ways that are just unimaginable. And yet, despite all that, despite the fact that things look so hopeless, nevertheless, even from the most horrific destruction can emerge rebirth. The 15th of Av, where moisture re-enters the air, re-enters the wood, Midat HaRachamim, God's mercy, God's blessing, re-enters the picture, and the Jewish people can re-establish, can come back to life again. This is what is indicated by the 15th of Av. There is no defeat for the Jewish people, which removes all hope. There's always opportunity for the Jewish people to re-establish itself, to rebuild itself. If that generation cannot, if that generation has had its fate sealed, nevertheless the next generation can still rebuild itself and regenerate itself. This is, as we have said, the secret of the survival of the Jewish people, that one generation, no matter how low we may sink, one generation may utterly be destroyed, and nevertheless, God somehow will provide a means, some remnant, that when you, by the time you sit Shiva and you say goodbye to the past, you are able to re-establish yourself and rebuild and start again. Every Tisha B'Av, it's as if the Jewish people have died, as it were, because if we have not rebuilt the temple, then it's an indication that we are not worthy of returning to the land and to become a living nation the way we should. It's true that a significant portion of the Jewish people have returned, but nevertheless, without the Beit HaMikdash, this is not the complete Geula, and we have not yet merited to have that Beit HaMikdash rebuilt. And if that's the case, then that means, that's a sign that we as a generation have failed. We have failed. Our generation has failed. Nevertheless, you sit Shiva on our generation, and you wait till the 15th of Av, and a new generation can emerge. A new generation which has hope for the future, which is able to rebuild itself and is able to transcend the limitations that the previous generation was not able to rise above. Therefore, it is quite fitting that the Mishnah emphasizes that the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur were the two days on which the daughters of Israel would go out into the fields, and they were days of joy for the Jewish people, because they represent, the 15th of Av represents the beginning of a process which will ultimately culminate in Yom Kippur, because after we have sat Shiva for the previous generation that did not succeed, now the 15th of Av says, no, there is hope, there is a time of tshuva that we are now entering into, that will lead us ultimately to Yom Kippur, when the Jewish people can achieve forgiveness for our sins. We are able to overcome the limitations of the past. We are able to rewrite history, as it were, and turn the desolation and destruction of Tisha B'Av, we can transform it into new life and into the ultimate redemption, when the Jewish people will return to the land and will re-establish ourselves completely as an integrated living nation. This is the process which we are already seeing happening at the moment, the Jewish people coming alive as a nation in the land of Israel, and it's a process, but we are not there yet. We have to keep working at it, and please God, we should be able to use the time in Elul and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, to be able to rebuild ourselves spiritually as a nation, not just physically, but spiritually, and to be able to be worthy of returning to the land and becoming a nation once again. Thank you for joining me. Look forward to sharing the next podcast with you next week. All the best.